Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the sada, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, turn to page 1, then we will continue with the puja chanting. Page 1 of the chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of like. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami pumunudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe Pujemi Buddhaṃ kusumena nena punnena mettena ca hotu mokhaṃ puphaṃ milayati yatta idaṃ me kāyo tata yati vināsabhāvaṃ ādivāse tu no bante paṇīyaṃ parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigandhātu mutamaṃ ādivāse tu no bante pāle parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigandhātu mutamaṃ ādivāse tu no bante bhojanaṃ parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigandhātu mutamaṃ. Okay, let us do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, may this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding fall far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which I to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jamma. Buddhaṃ pujemi. Dhammaṃ pujemi. Sanghaṃ pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Then for those who need to train their mind, you go ahead. Then for those who need to maybe still continue with the mind sweeping method, followed by the loving kindness or metta to decondition your heedless thinking, you can also do that. Whichever skillful means that you have to adopt, you can just use it. The most important thing is to understand clearly what is it that you are doing in the name of meditation. Means you must meditate with understanding. So the understanding is very simple, very clear. If the spiritual faculties are still not there, means the mental hindrance will take over. So if your mental hindrance is causing you the heedlessness, causing your mind to wander off, so that you cannot develop the ability to be peaceful, silent. Because this mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness. So because of that, you need to actually understand that this is the result of the lack of the opposite five spiritual faculty. So initially, when the spiritual faculty are not there, your mind will become heedless. You will wander off, you will think. That's why you need to train, you train. Then you need to use the mind sweeping method followed by metta to bring about what they call the deconditioning of your heedless thinking, leading to inner calmness, followed by metta or loving kindness to have the inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being is a very good initial mind state to cultivate awareness or sati or mindfulness. When the mental hindrance are deconditioned, the heedless thinking are deconditioned, you become more calm, more peaceful. Then when you start to experience that, piti will arise. Then you are now ready to train this mind. So all meditation teachers of the past which don't understand, they taught the method, technique, and the object of meditation used by them is the meditation. No, they are only skillful means to train the mind, because the mind that lacks spiritual faculty will be heedless because of the mental hindrance. It will hinder you from becoming peaceful, aware within. And because of that, you cannot meditate. So when you understand that, you do what you have to do. You need to decondition the heedless thinking, then do it. Then develop the inner peace leading to inner well-being. Combine metta, do it. Then after that, you just stabilize this silent mind that has arisen, because mind-sweeping method will allow you to feel, then relax. You don't think anymore. That's why over a short period, 10 minutes or 10 to 15 minutes of mind-sweeping method, you will realize your mind has become more calm, more peaceful, because you have deconditioned it to just feel relaxed, no more thinking. Then after that, you can anchor it to an object of meditation which suits you, which you are familiar with. If you don't have, you can use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, which is very useful. So mindfulness of in and out breath is not about concentration or focusing. It's about developing awareness or mindfulness over the breathing. So like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So what you should do is, you should maintain attention in front of your nostril, where the breath goes in and goes out naturally. So you just relax and breathe in and breathe out normally, naturally. Then silence your mind and feel. The moment the breath arises and your mindfulness or awareness can detect it, then the breath and the awareness move together in perfect harmony. That's why breathing in, aware, no thought. Breathing out, aware. Means the breath and the breathing, oh no, the awareness and the breathing, they move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. So you just continue to develop that. Every time the mind wanders off, don't worry, don't panic, don't arise the mental hindrance. The mental hindrance are dislike, unhappy feeling, because the mind wanders off. Just tell yourself, before I train this mind, the untrained mind will be heedless, it think a lot, it will wander off. So I need to train. So every time it wanders off, patiently bring your attention back to your breathing. Then not long, if you are patient, the anapanasati will develop. Then when it develops, you will become very different. Without thinking, the mind is just aware without thought, will be very calm, very peaceful. Then you will experience what they call spiritual calmness, leading to piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy or spiritual rupture that comes with mindfulness. When you are without thought, piti will arise. Then continue to relax and silent, stabilize it. Then piti can transform into sukha, which is a spiritual blissfulness. Then as you relax further, it becomes more refined. Then you can experience what they call tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, leading to pasati, which is an enlightenment factor. When the mind hits pasati, it's very quiet, very still, very tranquil, no thought, little or no movement at all. Then that time your breath, everything also will slow down until it's very subtle, like no more breathing. So that is the point in meditation that you are training yourself to develop. Then when you reach that point, you don't do anything else. You just silence everything, relax, and just feel. Until the breathing come back, the subtle breathing can be detected again. Then after that, you continue to meditate, to develop the stability of the mindfulness, the calmness. Then the mind will enter sati. It will realize the higher, more refined sati. When you continue to relax and silence, don't try to do anything. Even if they tell you do sitting, touching, forget about it, because that is thought-based. That is verbalization again. So just relax, silence everything. Then this silent mind will become the meditative mind. It will understand everything on its own. Okay, I'll let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about maybe 15 or 20 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that had enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Always remember, the form of meditation is to stabilize your mindfulness. Or for those who need to train so that it's very stable. You need to have this mind state that is already trained in awareness, mindfulness, heedfulness to meditate in the midst of life, to develop wisdom, understanding, to insight into phenomena, to awaken the mind. The mind that is in the meditative or silent inner awareness without thought, which is mindful and heedful, is the meditative mind. And that is the one that can understand a lot of things. So it's through the silence that you understand. It's not through the thought, which is egoic. And without right view, without wisdom, the egoic mind cannot understand. It cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So one has to be clear, very, very clear about the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Ultimately, whatever you do in the name of meditation, you cannot bring about heedfulness or mindfulness in the midst of life, to be aware, to be mindful, to understand everything that is going on within your form and mind, so that you can awaken and realize the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. Without this initial wisdom, it's very difficult to liberate the mind, to free the mind. So this is the part that I wish to re-emphasize, so that you know meditation is about development of wisdom. Not all the fantastic mind experience, not to just go and seek for peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind, and all the fantastic experiences of mind. These are conditioned mind states that may not be able to let you develop the wisdom. These are, of course, fairly good mind state that will make you calm and peaceful. But if it's not a free mind, most of the time, it's a conditioned mind. It's in energy field, concentration or one-pointedness or absorption. Means they focus the mind. They bring the mind to focus or one-pointedness to develop the jhana. Or they go into absorption, continuous mindfulness, to make the mind very still, very silent, without thought. And all this actually make the mind dull. The mind that is not free is a conditioned mind that is dull. And all these are held together by the thought. Because the thought-based meditation has this problem. The thought will arise to give you the what they call suggestion that you are meditating. There's a meditator, and that meditator is the thought. And when you use thought, you are limited by that instrument that you use, because thought itself is limited, egoic. Without wisdom, is always deluded, heedless, has wrong view. It cannot see things as they are to realize the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all of meditation that is energy field or thought based can never realize the true Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The real mind, the true mind that can meditate, is the silent mind. When you are without thought, the moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. And the essence of mind or the true mind is already there. But because of heedlessness, delusion, the lack of spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, the mind cannot stay still. The mind cannot be in a state of awareness, heedfulness, silent state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness to meditate, to understand. So because of that, their mind are most of the time heedless, think a lot. And that is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. So if you cannot see this and differentiate, then you become deceived by the mundane mind. That's why you will cling and grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's real, it's you, thinking that the feeling that you arise belong to you. The mind that arise is like it belongs to you. Like there is a thinker behind the thought. There is a person who perceives, who see, who hear, who smell, who taste, who tactile feel and think. If you don't silence your mind to see clearly the dependent origination, you can never understand all this. And you will be deluded by it. That's what sakkayaditti or self-delusion is. That's why in the final summary of the first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed it very clearly. In short, it is this self-delusion that conditions the form and mind to grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. That's why the upadana khandhas, the grasping aggregates, brings about suffering. So this is the essence of his teaching. So meditation is to see this clearly, that all the five aggregate of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sangra, vinyana, they are not real, they are not you. They are conditioned arising entity, dependent originating. They have this universal characteristics of impermanent. That's why they arise and they pass away. Thought arise and pass away. Feeling arise and pass away. Perception, activity of mind, mind state, mental states, mental thinking, mental concoction, mental formation, they are of that nature to arise and desist. Consciousness is the same. This moment you are conscious of seeing. Next moment, conscious of thinking. Then hearing, smell, taste, tactile. The six senses, they are so active. They arise and they pass away so fast. So without a stable mindfulness, you cannot cope. You cannot understand what is going on. You have to have that stability of daily mindfulness that is so stable until you can be at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of mental activity, at the moment of contact, feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness. Without this ability, you cannot deal with the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind, because they move so fast. Like the Buddha said, it's like a flash of lightning. That's why like you can multitask. Like everything can be performed simultaneously at a very fast pace. Because our mind has this ability to move at such speed. That's why when you understand, when you are silent, mindfulness can be very different. No matter how fast the phenomena, that silent mind which is silent can match up with the movement. That's why it's very different. But if you use the thought, then it's impossible. You cannot. Because the movement of that consciousness is too fast. And even in the Abhidhamma, for those who have read, they say in a flash of a lightning, you know, within a flash of a lightning, which is a fraction of a second, the Buddha say billions of consciousness has gone by. You know what is billions or not? Just imagine how fast that mind can be. So when you have not reached the ability to comprehend all this, it's because you have not connected to your true mind. the true nature. That's why the Buddha always said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Each year we sing sound. It's all created by the mind. So when you understand this, then you will come to understand why our world is called a phenomenal world of consciousness. When mind arises, everything arises, like real. Through your senses, you create the six type of sense of consciousness. This is how you know the world. This is how you interact with the world. This is what that animate you into a living entity, a form of mind. But this one is not you. This one is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool, so-called human being, for you to come to this world. To experience life, to live life, to go through all the karmic conditioning, then to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to truly have the understanding to live life, and that is the purpose. But if you cannot understand, you will be gullible, you will be deluded, you will grasp and cling and hold, thinking that the fire aggregate of form and mind is you, this human being is you. That's why Sakkaya Ditthi will condition your delusion, your self-delusion. Then you will grasp and cling and hold, and you will believe all these are real. That's why your memory becomes very strong. And through your memory, you start to create thought process. And when you cannot see clearly, like what the Buddha said, all of thought process are sankhara. That's why he said, all of sankhara, sabbe sankhara anicchang, impermanent. And because they are impermanent, it will lead to suffering. It's not satisfactory. No matter what state of mind you arise, no matter how calm, how beautiful, it will come to pass. And because of that, he said, all of sankhara will lead to suffering because they arise based on nature's condition. They go the way of nature. They will not listen to you because the world, the existence, is not you alone. You are just one of the billions and billions of insignificant form of mind. There are billions and billions of countless conditions around. And these are the ones that set the condition for the overall totality of movement. So how can you want things your way? If you want things your way, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. But when you develop the understanding of the Dhamma, of dependent origination, how the mind functions, how the universe functions, when you develop the understanding of the great laws that governs life and existence within the phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world, then you have great wisdom. Then you can understand many things. And through that understanding, you liberate your mind, you free your mind. That's why you can awaken. Otherwise, not easy. Yeah? So this part is for special sharing. Because today there is some condition. Yeah? Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will invoke and invite the devas to come, yeah? And rejoice in all this and listen to our sharing. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, we shall chant together, the Pali. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Iti peso. Oh, sorry. We have to chant the Namo Tassa first. Eh? Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Onaiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripajam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. You can be seated then. We will continue with where we stop, our Diamond Sutta. We were at chapter 16, page 131. So before we start, we turn to page 1. We will recite the opening verse. Verse for opening the sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 131. Chapter 16, Karmic Obstruction Can Be Purified. This is the subheading. So I will read to you the other version. I have given out the notes earlier on. The other version is a new translation. This new translation is by another British, Alex Johnson. Furthermore, Subhati, If a good man or good woman who accepts, upholds, reads and recites this sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, is disdained or slandered, if they are despised, or insulted, it means that in the previous life, they had committed evil acts, and as a result are now suffering the fruits of their action. See, even great beings, I tell you, they also have karmic offense, karmic obstruction. So he said, even if you have this cultivation until you can reach the level of accepting this Diamond Sutta, upholding it, you can read and recite this sutta, and even later on teach it. And if you have all this understanding, and yet you are being slandered, despised, or insulted, or disdained, it means that in prior life, these beings have committed evil acts, and as a result are now suffering the fruit of their action. So even Sakyamuni Buddha, in his last life as Sammasambuddha, 2,600 years ago, some of the karmic thing he also have to confront, like the Chincha incident, and the one that offered the last meal that caused him to be very sick before his parinibbana. So all this, according to Sakyamuni, is his past karmic action that he has done out to Pacheka Buddha at that time, which he didn't know they were Pacheka Buddha. Because you have existed, they have, this form and mind has existed for countless of aeons and aeons. So it is not like strange or it's not possible for you to do such act. It's possible because over such long period of time, and most of this period of time, they end up in long periods of delusion. That's why you don't know what you have done, your nature has done. Then I will read on. When their prior life's evil act have finally been dissolved and extinguished, he or she will attain the supreme clarity of the most fulfilled and awakened mind. See? If you don't really develop the understanding to dissolve and extinguish all this evil or karmic negativity or karmic offense, you cannot break free. That's why karmic offense, you must know how to dissolve it, extinguish it. That's why I used to say, resolve it amicably, asking for forgiveness, repentance, then vow not to repeat all this, then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, for your this sincere, humble request for forgiveness be accepted, so that it can bring about causes and conditions for all this coming offense to be mitigated or resolved amicably. Then finally dissolve or overcome. So there are ways that you can help dissolve this karmic obstruction. As I hear the title, Swenha put, karmic obstruction can be purified. Purified in the sense that you can overcome it. You can dissolve it, extinguish it. So here, the Buddha make it very clear. Even such being, when you cultivate, you bound to have this karmic thing from the past. But if you have reached that type of cultivation, then you can have the condition to receive all this karmic friction. People disdain you, disrespect you, slander you, then despise you, and do all these things to you. Actually, is a blessing in disguise. Because if they do that, it actually brings forth the condition for you to dissolve all this, to go through all this. Then you can break free very fast. Understand? That's why here, it wants to show it to you. Even people insult you or what, That's why you have to endure, you have to endure. And you should rejoice that the friction is coming. Yeah. Then when you understand, you endure with understanding and still seek forgiveness and let this dissolve or extinguish amicably. Then when you are able to clear all this final hurdle, these are very serious coming offense, then you, because when you insult, slander, all this, you must understand, oh, these are not normal human beings. No. You must have insulted, slander, and do all these things to all the great beings. No. That's why you have to ask for forgiveness from the entire Triple Gem, the enlightened being, to dissolve this. Then later on, you have to actually, through understanding, seek forgiveness and repentance. With all other beings, so that all this can be dissolved. Then the Buddha Sakyamuni, he gave this example, you listen. He said, Subhati, in ancient time, before I met Dipankara Buddha, you know who is Dipankara Buddha? The Samasa Buddha that existed very, very long time ago, 3 or 4 world cycles before this one. He was the one that predicted Sakyamuni Buddha to be a Sammasambuddha in the distant future under the name of Sakyamuni, born of the Sakya clan. That's why Muni means great enlightened being. Sakya is a family name. That's why the Sakya clan. And it was predicted he will be born a prince. Then he will become a Sammasambuddha in that life. So long ago, how can you predict? How? Like I explained before. Because the parami of this cultivator, this great being, they are so great, so heavy and so wholesome, so strong. That's why they have the power to override all other conditions, to bring about the fulfillment of that prediction. Unless there is a nature, some nature that is more powerful, more strong, then it can distort, but not likely to have another nature. Then when it's predicted by another Sammasambuddha who has the ability to understand and see, it will definitely come about. Yeah. Very unlikely that something else may arise. Whatever something else that may arise is after the prediction. If let's say there is some great happening, then something that is of a great order that has to come in and intercept or take precedence over, then it will modify that thing. Yeah? So it depends. But these are to let you understand the power of all this cultivation, merits, wisdom, wholesomeness, understanding. So when your nature is so powerful, it can cause things to arise. It can override all other conditions and bring about that fulfillment. So Dipankara Buddha, he said, in ancient times before he met Dipankara Buddha, Shakyamuni as a bodhisattva, he had already made offering to and have been attendant. You know, if I tell you this number, you don't panic. You don't like disbelieve. Sometimes this sutta you think is impossible. Like Vimalakirti, that layman cultivator, he has met 90 million Sammasambuddha. That one also you don't believe. 90 million, so easy to meet. One also so rare. You know, this one Sakyamuni say before he met Dipankara Buddha to get the prediction, he has already make offering to and have been the attendant to all 84,000 million Buddhas. You know how much is 84,000 million? It's not 90 million. 84,000 million. 84 billion Sammasambuddha. And he has made offering to them and become the attendant. Then you know what happened. He said, even though he has cultivated that amount of merits before that, but if someone is able to receive, recite, study, and cultivate this sutta, the Diamond Sutta, in a later, more distant age, then the happiness and merits brought about by this virtuous act would be hundreds of thousands of times greater than that which he had brought about by his service to the Buddha of all the ancient time. That's why that merits that come from understanding the Diamond Sutta, teaching the Diamond Sutta, is so powerful, way above all those merits. Because this one is without mark. Then in fact, such happiness and merits cannot be conceived or compared with anything. Even mathematically, you will also be amazed. Because if you use mathematics to calculate, it's a crazy. To meet one Sammasambuddha is so difficult. This one meet 84,000 million, 84 billions. And not ordinary human being. Not ordinary human being maybe can. But this one, Sammasambuddha. So even you can meet, like this world, you come into existence. The total population of this planet is only 6 over billion. How many can you meet? You can get to know 1 million. You're already very good. But of course, don't count Facebook. A lot you don't meet. Before the internet, I tell you, you hardly can meet 100,000. But now maybe you can meet more in the modern world because you travel. Then you have a lot of interaction. But all these are insignificant compared to the figure that they are talking about so much, and not ordinary being. Then the Buddha said, if I were to explain all this in detail, some people might become suspicious and disbelieving, and their mind may even become disoriented and confused. True or not? How can you comprehend? They will be sure doubt, because this Monday, by this thought, they will create doubt. True or not? Where got like that one? Even tell you about somebody get enlightened. True ah. He look like that. Apia can enlighten. He's someone not monk or lay person or can ah. The thought will talk like that. They don't know how to see, they don't know how to feel, they don't know how to understand. It's just like just now I was explaining to Pan Chi and the husband. I said, when Achayantra, my teacher, in 1988-89, when he came over, Ramahinda invited him over to Brickfield, PJ, Malacca, Penang, and all this area. A lot of those Brickfield Kayanamitas or Dharma friends and Buddhists, they told me what not after I shared all this with them. Simpratiwa, you remember me or not? I said, I cannot remember. I was also there, you know, when Achayantra was around. I was also listening. You know. Then I think one of them was Yun Chan also. I said, but you cannot understand. No. How come you can understand? Yeah, I can quote what he said. And you know, also, see, you were also there. You know. See? Because to you, it's like, really, yeah, he's so good. After they heard the scandal in Thailand, you remember, later, many years, almost 90% dissociate from him. Achayantra, I don't know him. Because people are gullible. They are attracted to big name, famous reputation and all those things. Then the moment that name is gone, they try not to associate. Then they don't want to talk about it also. In fact, the uncle Ku, which was very close to me, he also like lost his faith and confidence. He told me, he said, "Hey, true, you know, I met this monk, you know, this Thai monk. I went to Thailand. They told me all this, you know, all the internet report, everything. He said, even come out in the paper." I said, "Cool, Mr. Ku, please. You and I, we met him. We went to his place. we feel his energy, and I can understand what he teach, and I benefited so much. And this is more important than what people tell you. If your faith can be shaken just like that because of what the world say, then too bad. Yeah, this understanding is different. But I can't blame him because his past was kung fu, energy field. He also do jhana. He followed my second last teacher. He was very close to her. So because of that, that's why they cannot have that same type of understanding. So this type of sutta, the Mahayana sutta, also same. When you are at this level with the mundane thinking, you will never in your wildest dream can accept like that one. But to you have been so conditioned. To meet one Sama Sambuddha is already so difficult. And some of this local Buddhist texts were still. He said nowadays Dhamma ending Asia. To meet one Sotapanna also very rare, very difficult. Then when you suddenly tell him about one sutta, Sakyamuni, before he met Divangara, he met 84 million Sama Sambuddha. I tell you, he will say, you're crazy. Understand? Because this is how the mundane mind will react. But like I used to tell you, you remember? I think maybe some of you may remember. But I don't think you were attentive last time. Now I repeat again. Then you will recall. Because as I went through, this nature went through this cultivation, this nature understands, no? That's why I always tell you, a lot of things that I experience, that I share and relate with you, you may think it's fairy tale, no? Understand, no? But the real thing is more fantastic than even fairy tale, I tell you. If you are not in this spiritual field, if you are not in this cultivation, I tell you, what they say is very true. Very difficult to meet. One also, very difficult, the real one. It's like, because of your karmic obstruction, your karmic past, you actually get entangled everywhere. But to meet this real one is very rare. But then, I look at this nature when it come. How come the condition is so strange? I not only met, no. They came from all over the world. And when they came, this nature can understand. This nature can actually have the affinity to connect. Then after that, you keep on meeting this type of people. You know? It's like there are so many around. You know? Because your nature has the ability. That's why I understand that this is possible. When Sakyamuni cultivate until he has that understanding and that nature, he create boundless affinity. You remember the Bodhisattva? I told you all to create affinity with all the great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattva. And when you start cultivating and developing this understanding, you will have the ability to meet so many of them, countless of them. That's why this is possible. Forget about what people say. This life, this nature went through, it knows. In reality, really very rare. Because you don't have the parami, you don't have the affinity, you don't have the condition. But for those who have, it's a totally different scenario. You understand? That's why you cannot just be conditioned by what you read and what people tell you. If you have not got that nature, that understanding, you cannot understand. That's why people simply comment with their limited understanding. It's just like the analogy I used to give you. You go and ask a primary school student, what did your teacher teach you? Oh, he said, I learned a lot of things. I learned English, I learned arithmetic, I learned all things. Oh, arithmetic. Then you ask him, what did you learn? Your teacher teach you arithmetic. He said, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Then he like tell you, 1 times 2 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4, then 12 times 12 is 144. He memorize everything. Then you say, hey, the real maths got a lot more than this. No? He say, you're crazy. My teacher already taught me everything. I top student. No? How to talk to him. So then you go to secondary school, then you realize, hey, mathematics or arithmetic is not just this, no. You got calculus, you got differential equation, you got Fourier series, you got a lot of all those things. Then you got the higher maths. Then as you go to form 6, you go to university, you got a lot more things which you cannot understand. Then when he was a kid, you try to tell him, he would tell you off, understand? No? You don't push it, you don't tell me all these things. Where got like that on? Where got maths like that on? Understand? But when he goes through, then he realized, oh yeah, last time, when I met this person, or he said his uncle told him all this, he don't believe. No? Yeah, I remember there was one incident. No? Yeah. I was in Alostar that time, we were in Form 5, I remember. Then I got one classmate. His family are all very well educated. No? His father also English educated during their time. No? They were born before the war, pre-war. I think his parents, like my parents' age, born in the 1930s. Or my father was born in 1928, I remember. Yeah. And they were English educated, no? British time. Then he got one uncle, who's an engineer. And when I was 4 or 5, he retired already. And he wanted to throw away all his engineering books and all those things. That time really cannot understand. No? So that time, he was asking, anybody want these books or not? And then I was thinking, I want to become an engineer. I said, maybe I have a look. Oh, liabu kiu, cannot understand. Then I said, never mind. Then later on, when I really got admitted into MU, then I regret I didn't collect from him. No? I regret I didn't even really find out more from him. No? But anyway, the condition was such. When you are not at that level, you cannot understand. It's just like when I graduate, after I developed the experience and understanding. If you are a civil engineering student, you want to understand this topic, you come and see me. I can tell you and explain to you a lot of things. I got another classmate whose son studied engineering, civil. When he was in first year, he don't like that subject. He want to change course. So the father remember I'm very good. He came and see me. I say, ask your son to come. Then I explained to him. Luckily, I explained to him. Then after that, he continued with his study. Then he graduated. And he was very happy. He took civil engineering. I say, it's a beautiful profession, if you understand. That's why you need the experienced people, the one that has the understanding to guide you, to show you the way. Meditation is the same. Spiritual field is quite similar. So you don't be limited by what your present understanding and conditioning. You must have an open mind, free mind. Not until you understand all this, you have reached that level. You can never comprehend all this. Understand? I want you to understand this, because this can bring forth the openness of mind to receive the higher teaching. You never knew. Because even like I explained to some of you, our civilization at this moment, we call it the golden age. The last 30 years we progressed so much. But do you know, we are still very primitive compared to those advanced civilizations. You think you have a lot of great now, WhatsApp. People can, like you see all the TV series, space travel, energize that corner. Right? Then they can open the gateway, energize, zoom, another dimension, right? Another universe. Right? So all this is mind-boggling to you, understand? Even last time, when my mother told me all this, I can understand why she was like, but she was illiterate, not educated. Then when you see the TV, my wife can testify to this. You see the TV, every time the advertisement same one, no, the glass, there was one advertisement where the cockroach, I don't know what, then the glass break one, you know. Then he was so amazed, oh, how come so cute one? He said, keep on happening on the same thing. Then he said, I said, that one China, Beijing, now they are doing the thing. He said, serious ah? Pitching can see ah? Not until Chinese New Year later on when I video conference with his own brother and sister, means my uncle and auntie. Then only he believed, wow, really can see one, oh? Can see them cooking. Oh? He was full of joy. He was in disbelief. Oh? He said, how come can that one? Then later on, WhatsApp, oh, ah? Wow, he completely like, cannot understand. Oh? Even telephone to him is very magical. No? The telephone last time. So when the computer can develop the video conferencing to talk to them in China, Chinese New Year time, she was full of joy. No? And when she traveled, she saw all the amenities of the modern technology, the car. Oh, he was so amazed. Last time he did not go up the car. He told us, no, car sick. Every time she warned me. But then, I say, you have to learn. Then he learned. Then, when she can endure, she was so happy. She liked to travel after that. Wherever we go, he want to join. Go Hat Yai also, climb into the MPV, also he will come. Then, come now to PJ, she will come on. She liked to travel after that. So, it's understanding. And the way you understand evolution evolve in a very different pace. You look at our civilization. The recorded one is 5,000 over years ago. The last 5,000 years, minus the latest 30, 40 years, we are still so primitive and backward, you know. But how come within the last 30 years we can progress so fast? From now on, we are moving even much faster if human beings don't destroy themselves. Your own species. Understand? So all this is amazing. Then according to scientists, this planet has been 10 billion years old. No? You believe or not? If it's 10 billion years old, how can it be just one civilization that we are staying in, which only lasted 5,000 over years? Yeah, our history got recorded in it. How we started in it. How writing come about in it. Mesopotamia, the Yellow River, Euphrates and all things, then Indus civilization, Ganges civilization. It's all from the Great River civilization. Then primitive man at that time. 5,000 over years ago, still primitive man. No? How can it be? That's why later on they discover that there are other civilizations before us. They call it the Sumerian, which was before us. Then the Atlantean, and all those things. There were many civilizations before us. And according to the record, it's about 60,000 year cycle. Every 60,000 year cycle, we will go through the Ice Age, and the civilization get destroyed. Ours is only 5,000 over years, so maybe we got another 55,000 or 60,000 years. And we can be very advanced civilization and race by then. Actually, no need so long. Another 25,000 years, 30 years civilization is fantastic, really. Now, every year is so different, you realize or not? And we are like so fortunate living in the golden age where we have the means to experience and enjoy all these things and to witness all this. We were born during the pre-war. Oh, no. Post-war, we don't have to go through the Second World War. Then the time we can see all the early primitive civilization of the 50s and the 60s. Then after that, we went to school during the 60s. Then the 70s, we graduate. And during that time, surprisingly, education was already quite good. The British education was already quite good, actually. And we were so lucky. Then after that, after I graduated, 79, the last 30 years was phenomenal, I tell you. The way civilization evolved, the way things evolved, especially science, technology, and the internet, the multimedia, and all those things. And all these things that you get to witness, you get to experience, they are so beautiful. Provided you have the understanding and the means. Otherwise you will be like the heedless and the deluded, suffering, miserable. In fact, there are still a lot of poor people who can't even have food and shelter, basic amenity, basic health program, and all these things. That's why not everybody is blessed with good karma, good condition, good nature to understand things. So when it comes to Dhamma, you have to bear this in mind. This teaching is so unique, so beautiful. You cannot understand this teaching, your life will become afflicted, miserable. But when you can understand this teaching, you will become beautiful. You will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and develop wholesomeness, goodness. That's why when you have good nature, kindness, love, understanding, virtue, you become beautiful. Your life becomes beautiful. It will transform you. Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, then you will get to reap the great fruit of all this understanding. Then the nature's law will see to it, you are beautiful. Then you have the good life and all this thing. But if you don't have this understanding, you become heedless. You will fall. Life after life you come, you have problem, suffering, affliction. So all these are very important. Okay, I continue. Then the Buddha says, Subhati, you should know that the meaning of this sutta is beyond conception and discussion. See, the Buddha already knew. Then he said, likewise, the fruit resulting from receiving and cultivating this sutta is also beyond conception and discussion. That's why beyond your wildest imagination, how powerful this sutta is when you can understand it, share it. It is limitless in its capacity to benefit living beings and to bring about perfect penetrative understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. But this is the teaching that is without mark. Okay? Now we turn to page 131. Well, we just start. We see Sven Hoa's version. We try to develop the understanding. I will move on to the chair. My leg is giving me a bit of problem. Okay, page 131. We see what Shen Hua writes. Shen Hua's version is quite similar, I think. Karmic obstruction can be purified, chapter 16. Moreover, Subhati, if a good man or good woman receive, holds, reads, and recite this sutta, and if people ridicule him, so the translation is slightly different, ridicule, not slander and despise and all those things. That man has karmic offense from previous life, which destined him for the evil path. But because in his present life he is ridiculed by others, his previous karmic offense are destroyed, and he will attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. So this version, I realize the translation is not so good compared to just now. Just now he used the correct word. This karmic obstruction can be dissolved and extinguished. You realize he used that word? Then he never used the word radical. Radical means what? Make fun of you only. What? How serious that offense can be. Understand? I just make fun of. But to insult, slander, and do all those things is completely different. So that coming offense you do to great being is very, very severe coming obstruction. That's why you have to learn to ask for forgiveness, repentance. All great being, great cultivator know that. They will teach you that. That's why this cultivation is very, very common in the Mahayana tradition. They even have what they call Dhamma session on that, or ceremony to conduct this type of repentant far away. Understand or not? 忏悔啊，拜忏啊，they call it what? Don't know what type of chant. I forgot it. Pho Quang used to say, I heard from Gu Moi, he always go and join. Ta Ta Pei Chan, yeah. The mantra, the Kuan Yin compassionate mantra, Ta Pei Chan, yeah, correct. So they got a lot of all this. But surprisingly, Theravada, you seldom heard of this. You only saw in the Sutta, the Sakyamuni time, Kayena, Vacca, Cittena, a true action, speech, or thought process that you have committed wrong or error, you ask for forgiveness from the Triple Gem. Only from the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Kayena, Vacca, Cittena, Pamadana, Maya, Katang, Acayang, Kama, Ban, don't know what Bante, Me Bante, Puri Panya, Tathagata. So, you realize a lot of things in the Theravada tradition is just four stanzas, not elaborated. You know why or not? I think just now I was trying to explain to Puan Chi. You see, let's say like education system. During the Buddha's time, when he arrives, the more urgent thing is what the people need at that time. So most of them need the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma, to awaken. That's why in the Samsipa group, he told the monk, he picked up a handful of leaves from the forest. He asked the monk, which is more, the handful of leaves that is on my hand or the leaves that is in the forest, both on the ground and on the tree? Definitely they say, the handful of leaf is so much less than the forest. Then Sakyamuni answered them, no, is it? Likewise, the thing that I know as a Sammasambuddha is like the leaves in the forest. But what I have taught you is just a handful. Why? Because this is essential for enlightenment. This is essential for you to develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free yourself from samsara, so that you don't have to come back. So this is the immediate thing. That's why he said, that is the reason why he teach only the handful. And what is this handful? That's why he said, it's the Four Noble Truths, the three turning. It's very clearly stated there. And people forgot about the three turning. So during his time, it's just like we all, in this Saha world, before our civilization evolved, the immediate thing was what? Give education to people, understand not? Give education to people. That's why you try to get them into school. So primary school. But last time, don't have kindergarten, no money yet. And people don't know that. Could be an advantage. It's only later evolution. Then when you are in the primary school, at that time, to pass standard 6 is very rare. Understand? To have education already very rare. Yeah. So the immediate need is to provide education, to teach them the ABC, understand not? How to sing song, how to form words. Then only they can study. Then they can go to standard 6. Then after that, secondary school is more difficult. When they can't even understand ABC, form word and all those things, you cannot bring them and tell them about the secondary school syllabus and all those things. They will not understand. And the worst is to tell them about Form 6, matriculation and university, then master, PhD, all those things. Well, all these are not relevant. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha didn't spend much time. He did tell them that he became a Sammasambuddha through the perfection of the 10 perfections, but it took him very long. 3¾ asaṅkhaya kalpas. Then in the chronicle, he said he met Dipankara Buddha, and there's a lot of other story, all the Jataka story, everything. But he didn't describe how he cultivated the Bodhisattva way. Why? Because those are not essential for enlightenment, the immediate need. That's why he just teach this. Then I even add to let Puanchi understand, because there are some people he heard very scared of the Bodhisattva way. He said it will block them and prevent them from realizing Arahan. So they say, this way is too long, too arduous, too tedious. I want to renounce the vow and I want to dislike make it. But then I say, who is saying all this? It's the thought, the egoic mind. The one that still has the atta, I don't want to go this way. Too tedious. Understand? Then it's just like education. I give you the analogy, you understand? Let's say, you heard people say, after standard 6, you got to study 3 more years now to go for, last time we call LCE, yeah? Then they call SRP, then now they call what? There's another word for it. PT3. Huh? Oh, is it 9 years? Then another 2 years, form 5 only. You know? Then another 2 years, form 6. Oh. Then after that only go uni. You know? Uni another 4 years, you know, or 3 years. Too long. I don't want. I want quick one. You finish then the 6, don't want to study. You come out, what can you do, I tell you? Understand? Huh? You think that one is too long? Too difficult? After going through all this education, you know there are benefits. There are value. And just like one of my teachers told me, this way, although very long, very arduous, very tedious, but you don't have the parami, the understanding, you cannot even walk. Understand? And you cannot even understand. Because according to her, it's so rewarding. You have to go through. Then you understand. Then people who never go through, they have this wrong idea. They thought when you walk the Bodhisattva way, you have to renounce your arahantship. Because the Theravada belief is, after arahant, you cannot come back. It is correct. After arahant, there is no more delusion, no more ignorance, there is no more rebirth consciousness through the normal deluded karmic conditioning. Means there is no rebirth consciousness. There is no more delusion. But they don't understand the Bodhisattva way. The Bodhisattva way understand how law of karma can still bring back the form and mind to come back with a pure mind. You don't have to have delusion or ignorance to condition rebirth consciousness. That's why we Bodhisattva take the 4 basic vow. The first basic vow is to develop this love and compassion. That's why we vow to liberate the limitless living being, understand? The countless living being in this universe. And this compassion, which is so sincere, so deep, with so much understanding, brings out the real compassion in you. And compassion is a pure mind. No greed, no hatred, no delusion. Even Arahant can bring that up. And this is the one, if you tie in with the vow, because you vow to liberate, then it will set the condition for the law of karma to condition a form and mind out of pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, to come back. That's why the Bodhisattva can come back. That's why I told you, if you choose to come back or you have to come back, are two different things. So, you choose to come back means you understand the Bodhisattva way, you can come back. So through a pure mind, you come back and fulfill that vow. Then you continue to come. Then when you make the Bodhisattva vow to have this understanding life after life when you come back, then you become beautiful. You connect early. You understand form and mind, not you. Then like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, when you realize this secret of life, you can live life. You become beautiful. Then with the realization of true emptiness, you actually have wonderful existence. Life become meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. And the problem with nowadays, what they call conditioning is, just like earlier on I explained, they believe to meet one sotapan also, very rare already. But if you are really in this path, this cultivation with this understanding, you will still meet a lot, which are all the great beings. If it's not possible, how can Sakyamuni Buddha made 84 million. Billion, not million. Vimalakirti, 90 million. And these are not figure plucked from the air and joke, you know, understand or not? That's why when you are with the understanding, you can. So they don't understand that Bodhisatta means Bodhi is enlightenment, Satta is being. These are enlightened beings who has gone through the enlightenment. And even one of my teachers told me, there are a lot of arahant during the Buddha's time. When they want to pull out this vow, this compassion, too late already. Because the cessation happened too long. They cannot pull it out. And some of them have tears. Although it's not suffering or sadness. Because when they come to realize this way, when they were explained and told, then when they want to do it, too late. Because early on, in a way, they don't have the condition. But they don't believe all this. They say, finish, that's it. Why you want to do so many things? So, they rest their case. Their choice is the individual. But for those who have the condition and have the understanding, they will continue. And I can ask you very one simple question. If the Sammasambuddha, top 10 disciples also cannot go this way, the Bodhisattva way, then who else can go this way? Huh? True or not? There must be a lot of his very close disciples who are very closely knitted with him and have the affinity, who understand this way and are cultivating. And it is very easy to understand all this. It's just like my nature, which is nothing compared to those nature. But yet, it can share and develop this Kayamita. And this is not only this life. In the past, there are affinity. There's otherwise, you cannot be here. Then in future, when the Kayamita shape flourish and move, and you can see the potential of each and every one, you can have your nature. Your time will come. You never know. And when you start to move and start to develop this, then you appreciate the Kayamita shape, the affinity, the vow that you have made, the affinity that you have made with all the great beings. Then when their affinity really shine forth and come back to you because of your vow, because of your understanding, because of your sincerity, your faith, then your nature starts to shine forth. You start to move. You start to progress very fast. Then you thank your lucky star. Then after that, what happened? It's like I told Panchi, or even in our Thursday class sharing, I remember. When you have that skill or ability, it's just like playing badminton. Initially, you train. We are in that talk, I think. I give the analogy. So initially, you train, then you come out, you practice, then you go for competition, maybe at the village level, kampong level, or something. Then later on, you're more ambitious. You go state level, then you win. Then you go national. National, you win. Then you go international. And do you know when you hit international, all the players are very, very good one. Understand or not? So, similarly, it's the same. When you go international, you realize, even though you are the best in your country, you know. Last time when I was the best in my state, when I went to MU. So I thought, not so bad. But I know it's very difficult to enter MU engineering at that time. Then when I reached there only, I know there are so many other who are even more smarter and intelligent than you, academic wise. That's why when I joined that group, then I realized you have to actually become very good to stay atop. And I have this ability to always join those who are good. I don't know why my nature will get to know them. Then I learn from them. Then I also become very good by the time I was in the final year. I was also the top. So what I'm trying to share with you is when you go international level, when you meet all those very good people, then you start to experience losses, understand not? You fail. Then you determine. You train very hard. You polish up your defense, understand not? Everyone is so good. Hardly any weakness. You don't have enough stamina. You don't have the skill. You don't have the ability to endure. You will lose out. Then you train. Until like fighting defilement. you are an all-rounder. Then you realize when you become very, very good, like the world champ, then you seldom lose, understand? Any player come, you understand their weakness. You know how to attack them, you know how to beat them. Then you understand all that. So Dhamma is the same. When you reach that level, understand? Then you are the top. Then you are in the position to teach all those people who are below you, understand? You can guide them, you can train them. You can. So as the Bodhisattva, it's the same as Kayamita. After you develop all this understanding, after you progress very fast, then when you have that nature, you can check, you can teach when your time comes. But before that, it's very difficult. Because if you are not careful, you can get yourself entangled in karmic obstruction, very severe. So you have to be very clear, very sure. Then your time will come, no problem. So this is the part which I really want to impart the understanding to you all, because it's recorded, so that you all have the confidence, the faith. So don't be gullible, don't just listen because the book says so, they quote Ajahn Mun renounce Arahantship. Otherwise he's stuck, he cannot become Arahant. The real training is not like that. The Bodhisattva will know, you will pass through all the stages of sainthood, the Arahantship. Even the Buddha in the chronicle mentioned to be somebody who has the ability to get the prediction from a Sammasambuddha. You must fulfill all those conditions. You must be an Arahant. Or you must have the ability to be an Arahant. Some interpret it that way and all those things. And all the other conditions. But Sakyamuni Buddha already said before he met Dipankara, he has already met 84 million Sammasambuddha. Before his prediction. Which means what? His cultivation is so different, understand? And when he gets the prediction, he's almost at the end of the cultivation. Really. That's why his parami, everything is so different. That's why without all this understanding, I mean, a cultivator, a being who has this parami to meet with 84 billion Sammasambuddha, you tell me he's not even an Arahant. You understand? And as an Arahant, he cannot come back. Then how can he meet so many? It's crazy, isn't it? So all this is to let you understand so that the thought won't come in through the back door to create fear in you. And what is fear? Doubt. Wrong thought. Weakens your spiritual faculty, your sadha. That's why I say when you understand, you just have faith and do. Don't try to know. Forget about what people say. For me, the cultivation is very simple. I just do whatever I understand. The Buddha said the Dhamma stand up to investigation. I investigate. That's why I don't limit myself to only Buddhism. That's why this nature, when it comes, it has that special vow to understand the highest understanding at any one time when it arises. That's why any teaching, any religion, wherever there is truth, this nature can understand. That's why Eckhart Tolle, even Bhagavan, Krishnamurti. Wherever there is truth, this nature can understand. That's why I can share it. If I limit my understanding to only Buddhism, Dhamma, then this nature will be cut off from all the other understanding. So it depends on your understanding. When you understand, your vow becomes different. When you understand, you evolve. That's why all the Buddhas, they got additional vow. The four basic vow, like I explained in the Bodhisattva way, the vow, the taking of the Bodhisattva way, vow, they have all this. So you will come to understand that the additional vow come about because you are unique in your own way. And you will add in those vow. And people can learn from all those vow. And the most amazing thing is, you know, I just got a text just now from Brother Gan, from Klang. You know what was the topic they want me to speak on this Friday? Importance of vow in cultivation. We got so kam kyuan, kam ngam and kam kyuan. When the condition is that things are falling into play and they want me to speak on all this. The importance of vow in cultivation. And he's a Theravada guy, you know, and he doesn't come to attend this type of class. You know, and yet he chose that title. That's why I say, good, go ahead. So a lot of things, when you don't have the understanding, you cannot understand. That's why I told many of you, this coming March retreat, I tell you, a lot of things is going to happen. A lot of kaya metta going to progress. Yeah. It's going to be a very, very beautiful retreat. Yeah. Because with this understanding, if you really have the faith, and you really, really determine, and I will conduct another Bodhisattva vow ceremony up there for all those who want to renew or to retake. Because this vow has to be renewed and take, so that you develop the understanding, the clear understanding of it, so that it's a part of you. If it cannot be a part of you this life, how can you hope the vow to carry on to future life? Understand? Huh? That's why when this nature comes, this understanding just come back because of the vow. And I never learned this life, a lot of this thing that I share with you all. Then how did this nature come to understand? How did it know how to use all this? And how did it understand all this teaching? There is no way unless that nature has done it before in the past. That's why these are inherent. And it's very clear, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma can be realized by the wise each for themselves. It's pachetang. You don't have to believe. But these are very, very different type of understanding. And the teaching is so beautiful when you have that type of understanding to understand it. Mm. Okay, now we read on. Otherwise, we won't even move one page. Wow, 10:15 already. Moreover, Subhati, if a good man or a good... Oh, sorry, I finished already. Yeah. So now we go to the commentary. That's why I said the translation here not as good as just now the Alex Johnson one. Eh? Mm. This section of Sutta text speaks of a person with heavy offense. You see, heavy offense doesn't mean ridicule by people only. Eh? That's why I suspect the translation earlier on was not so good. Who receives a light retribution. Concerned that living being might not understand the real mark, the wonderful Dhamma of the great vehicle, means Mahayana, and consequently give rise to doubt. Concerned that living being might not understand the real mark, the wonderful Dhamma of the great vehicle, and consequently give rise to doubt. Sakyamuni Buddha thus spoke to resolve any doubt. What doubt would living being have? They would wonder how it could be that someone reciting the Vajra Sutta or Diamond Sutta, which Sakyamuni Buddha has said was so profound and wonderful, could still be ridiculed by others for so doing. See, just like just now I explained, even though you think you already very good, cultivate until that level, can understand Diamond Sutta everything, yet the karmic offense is still there. Even Sakyamuni Buddha in his last life, there are still at least two that we know of, which he still got to pay back because of condition, the Chincha incident and the food that he was offered before he passed away, the horse. Don't know, horse food, I don't know, before his parinibbana. And after he took, his stomach developed a lot of trouble. He knew it was coming. As I told the disciple, not to blame that person. And yet he has a lot of parmi. The one that offered before he became enlightened, and the one that offered before his parinibbana, these are also great parmi beings. Then empty bond. Empty bond is actually Subhati, if I'm not wrong. The Buddha said, why would a man and a woman who have cultivated the five precepts and the 10 good acts, means meritorious action, and who received the sutta with his heart and wholly with his body, be ridiculed by people while reading or reciting the sutta? Why would people disparage him and say, look at him, he still recites sutta. He still recites the Buddha's name. He is merely putting on a front. He is hanging out a sheep head. This is the famous Mandarin say, 挂羊头卖狗肉hanging out the sheep head and selling dog's meat. He studied the Buddha Dhamma and recite the Buddha's name, and yet without a single thought, he still kills, becomes involved with improper sexual practice, and takes intoxicants. He will do anything, and yet he still recites the sutta. It is blasphemy. It is tantamount to slandering the Buddha. So this is Sun Ho's way. Yeah? Forget about it. Yeah? Anyone who overheard such a tirade would wonder why someone reciting a sutta would be subject to such ridicule. Sakyamuni Buddha explained that such a person would have committed incalculable karmic offense in the past, perhaps even the five grave offense, means the heavy offense, the heavy karma, killing of a father, killing of a mother, killing of an arahant, breaking up of the harmonious sangha, means committing Sikhism, then wounding a Buddha. Perhaps he has slandered others or always caused them trouble. As a result of such deed, he basically should fall into the three evil paths of hell, hungry ghosts and animal rhyme. But since he has received the subtle, wonderful, profound realm, great vehicle of Buddha Dhamma, the retribution for his former grave offense is lessened. And this one, in a way, is true. Lesson means what? You don't have to go down to all those willful states, the hell rhyme, the animal rhyme, and the peta rhyme. Even in the Theravada Sutta, it's mentioned that the moment you become a sotapan, you realize a sotapan, you will never fall to the four willful states. Understand? The hell rhyme, the animal rhyme, the peta rhyme, and the demon rhyme. The retribution takes the form of having people ridicule him. Maybe in this sense, Shen Hua is correct. Ridicule him only, won't be so serious. But I still believe can be slander or insulted. That's why Chin Cha did to Sakyamuni. He accused him of raping her or having relationship with her and causing her to be pregnant. Then slander her. slander him and do all those things. Thus he has heavy offense but light retribution. So when you recite sutta, if people ridicule you and call you superstitious, such ridicule contributes to the development of your virtuous conduct. Why do people disparage you like that? Why do they ridicule you, look down on you, and call you stupid? By regarding you in that way, they enable your offense from former life to disappear. If they did not ridicule you, your karmic offense could not be dissolved. Why? The Dhamma does not arise alone. In response to a state, it is born. Now, this one is very profound. The Dhamma does not arise alone. Means it's dependent originating. If you did not have someone ridicule you, there would be no test for your paramita of patience. If you can say you are ridiculing me, that is truly Maha Prajna Paramita. that one is a question mark. You are ridiculing me? And have the taste of someone's bitter word be as sweet as pineapple. Follow me, pineapple. Say follow. This one is very interesting, Paramita. Then you can arrive at the other shore. So you should thank the person. You are truly my good knowing advisor. Your ridicule dissolved my karmic offense. When I realize Buddhahood, it will be you who has taken. When I realize Buddhahood, it will be you who has taken me across. If you think in this way, how can you have anger? Be naturally patient under insult. Is having realized the paramita of patience or kanti parame. Just like Sakyamuni when he met the king of Kaliga, understand that, who want to test his patience and have the four horses to tear him up. He said, I see how patient you are by cutting off his four limbs and pulling them apart. Then Sakyamuni invoked the power of truth. If there is any slightest or anger or what, then my limbs will not come back to me. But if I have perfected the perfection, if there is not even a tint of anger or unhappiness or negativity, may my limbs come back to me. The four limbs all come back to me. And the king panicked, trembled, and straightway came down from the horse and paid his respect and asked for forgiveness. Then Sakyamuni, Buddha, the time as a Bodhisattva, told him, don't worry, you are the one that fulfilled my perfection of Kanti Parami, it means patient, perfection of patient, Paramita. He said, you will be the first one I will take across when I become a Sammasambuddha. That's why he took birth as Kondanya, and he was the first to become a Sotapan when Sakyamuni Buddha delivered the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So all these are related to vow. That's why vow are very powerful. Very, very powerful. Okay. Then we go on. Eh? The text say it is certain beyond a particle of doubt that the former karmic offense of a person who holds this sutta and undergoes radical will be dissolved, and that he will obtain Buddha friction of unsurpassed proper equal right enlightenment. Have no doubt, all of you who recite suttas should realize that being criticized is excellent. You should actually be happy. You have somebody to come and fulfill your coming offense friction. So you get to pay back, understand? Pay back debt means no more debt. But if you don't pay back your debt, if the debt is still there, the final life, when you decide to take on the Sammasambuddhahood, you may still have to pay back. But those who go this way, not likely. You are truly a Buddha. Then he said, if you are beaten, bow to your tormentor, can I? If you are jilted by your girlfriend or boyfriend or your spouse, thank him for releasing you. You can say what? Tora, tora, tora. I remember when I was in the school, there is this show, tora, 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 like liberation, freedom. Then say, Amitabha. Thank Amitabha for the lucky star. You are truly a Buddha. You hit me and my former karmic offense melt away like snow in the hot sun. With your karma eradicated, you can certify the true Buddha friction and obtain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. Wow, beautiful, huh? So better go and wait for people to abuse you, insult you, slander you, and do all those funny things to you. Then you thank them. Thank you so much. Pay respect to all the tormentor and the people who insult you. Really, you can do that. You are a true cultivator. Understand? Huh? Able to admit your mistake is the beginning of cultivation. I always say that. Then able to accept your karmic past is another virtue, another wisdom. That's why you can endure. You can have this gratitude inside. Thank you so much for allowing this past karmic offense to be resolved. Because karma is like that. The moment it comes, you have wisdom, you don't react, it will reverse, it will cease, it will dissolve amicably. And if you have asked for forgiveness, then it will be even more beautiful, repentant. And you have it in your vow to repent and forgive others, it is even more beautiful. Well, when you forgive others, probability and chances of other being forgiving you is very high. Where you have that nature. So these are all very beautiful. Okay. Maybe we stop here. 2 more minutes. You got any question? Right? Anybody got any question? Can I understand? Huh? I hope by now, I think most of you can understand. And you should actually contemplate, reflect, and stabilize this understanding so that it will bring forth the faith which is very strong, unshakable. When there is no more doubt, your faith will be very strong. It's just like when I heard my teacher, when my nature can recognize the truth that they share with me, I can feel their nature, their metta, their loving kindness, their nature's energy and all those things. This nature was full of joy, full of faith, full of confidence. That's why it listened attentively. Then it developed the understanding, then it develops the cultivation. That's how this nature progresses. Then how I travel, spiritual trip, and how it benefits my nature, how I go different places with different affinity, with different nature's being. That's why I went to all those that I have affinity with, the four great, what they call spiritual way place of China. They call it what? Si da what? Shenti, Mingshan, not Shenti. I think Shenti means where the enlightened beings are, the way place of enlightened beings. Of course, also famous mountain, they got more. They got five. We have Huangshan, don't have a Bodhisattva there one. So these are the four famous Buddhist Mahayana way places, where the great beings reside. It's their way place in one of the life. That's why you have Puthosan, Jiuhuasan, then Demeisan, then Utaisan. So these are the four great beings. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva is from Puthosan. Then Jiuhuasan is Earth Store Bodhisattva, Dizhang Wang Fusa. Then Utaisan is Manjusri, Wensu Pusa, foremost in wisdom. Then finally, Mount Ermei is Samanta Bara, Pusen Pusa, Bodhisattva. So all these are very great beings that has great affinity with cultivator. Their vow are very unique, very powerful. They can bring forth the causes and conditions for you to progress. That's why you must have affinity with them. You must life after life thank them for their protection, guidance, and blessings. Protection is for the form and mind, understand? Nothing to do with your nature, no need protection. But the form and mind that come, even as a bodhisattva, is very fragile. So the slightest mistake, gone. Very fragile. That's why you need their nature's protection. And they can protect you through their vow. So a lot of these things you will come to understand. Okay, anything else? If no question, we end. 10:30 exactly. Okay, we are some have to go to LRT station, I understand. Because they had to go to Setiawangsa, the sun there, and the train stopped at 12, last train 12. We don't identify, I have to go now. Okay, we end. Let's do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage, then we end. Okay. Akasata Che Bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditoa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itta wata caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu สุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิมังเมญาตินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิมินาปุญญังกามินามาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปัตติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let us pay respect Trupa Jam then you can disperse
Okay,